Here's the latest from Canadian lawyer, Law Times and Lexpert on April 21st, 2023. I'm Steve Randall. Toronto personal injury lawyer Jeremy Diamond is appealing an Ontario Law Society Tribunal disciplinary panel ruling that says he must not practice law for 3 months and pay a $100,000 fine after being found guilty of professional misconduct for misleading advertising. In a filing dated Thursday, April 13th, Diamond says that the panel made a number of fundamental errors of fact and law. As we reported last week, Diamond has been ordered not to practice law for 3 months, starting April 28th, but it's not an outright suspension. Still, Diamond must comply, as if suspended, with Sections 2 and 4 of the Law Society's guidelines for lawyers who are suspended or who have given an undertaking not to practice. Diamond's lawyer, Brian Greenspan, said in an interview, "We have taken the position, and still take the position, that Mr. Diamond has been treated unfairly." He added that the decision seems to be inconsistent with the way others who've engaged in what they believe is even more serious conduct have been dealt with. The Ontario Court of Appeal has found that a laid-off employee was constructively dismissed, rejecting the employer's argument that failing to object to the layoff and obtaining legal advice amounted to consent to the change in employment terms. In the layoff cases that arose during the COVID-19 pandemic, employers almost invariably argued that if the employee waited too long, they could not demonstrate constructive dismissal. Jonathan Pincus is an employment lawyer and partner at Samfiro Tamarkin.
There was a layoff and there was a series of extensions, and the issue was, did him simply not taking the action of objecting amount to acquiescing to the change?
David Vaughan is national practice leader of the firm's labour and employment law practice group. He says the ruling should send a message to employers to be more transparent in their communications about layoffs.
What this case does is it shows the benefit of just being upfront with your employee, if you're an employer. So if you're going to place someone on a layoff, you know, tell them what the basis is. You know, you've signed a contract in the past, so this is, we believe you have, you know, we have a contractual right to lay you off. And if that's not present, ask them for their agreement. Ask them to agree to a layoff for a certain amount of time. And I think that allows both sides to know exactly what's happening with the relationship.
Two recent appeals at the Ontario Divisional Court have confirmed that courts can rely on government-published recommendations concerning the COVID-19 vaccine when assessing the best interests of the child. Both cases dealt with when a judge should grant a parent decision-making authority over their child's vaccination on an interim motion. One issue in the appeals was whether the motion judge should have admitted into evidence the vaccine-related government recommendations. The court followed a previous Court of Appeal ruling in finding reports of public officials are admissible into evidence for the truth of their contents pursuant to the public document exception to the hearsay rule. In other words, Section 25 of the Ontario Evidence Act is alive and well, says Toronto family lawyer Jean Coleman. Coleman takes issue with the type of evidence typically deemed admissible in family law disputes. Too often, he says, courts are permitting hearsay of every sort and nature, and family law needs to return to basics on the rules of evidence. Canadian lawyer spoke with Chief Justice of the Federal Court of Appeal, Mark Noel. He spoke about how moving to virtual hearings during the pandemic had the unexpected effect of opening up proceedings to the wider public.
What we realized through keeping count of the participants in our virtual hearings is the level of participation that resulted from the access provided to the public. And for instance, we hear, as you probably know, esoteric tax cases that you would not think would be of interest to a great many people. And I can tell you that in the usual tax case that we hear in Toronto or Montreal or Vancouver, you know, you might have 10, 15 persons in the courtroom at the most. But to our great surprise, we started recording, you know, 100 persons in attendance and in a tax case, which was unheard of. And and for instance, in the last, the recent Rogers Competition Tribunal appeal, which was heard in in person, by the way, in our courtroom here in Ottawa in early January, we had in excess of 1,000 people attending the hearing. So I just want to emphasize that we quickly understood that in terms of access to justice and people understanding and taking part of the judicial process, this is quite a bonus and it's quite a realization and it's something we're going to continue to exploit.
He also spoke about the court's consolidated practice directions.
It's part of a philosophy of simplicity. We have floating out there close to 50 practice directions dealing with things ranging from court attire to how you address judges to how you compute delays. And these directions are out there and people don't know exactly where they are and how they can be accessed. So we've consolidated all these practice directions that we'll introduce a system whereby any modification, first of all, the practice direction will be on our site available to all. All modifications will be recorded, announced, so that there will be one-time reference to a practice direction. Lawyers and self-reps can simply look at that, and they've got the whole whammet, if you wish, gamut of special rules that govern the practice of the court.
Following an incredible nationwide response to the call for nominations, the finalists for the deal categories of the fourth Canadian Law Awards are now revealed, joining those non-deal categories previously announced. The deal finalists are also featured in the Lexpert Special Edition on Finance and M&A, published in the Globe and Mail, and online on lexpert.ca. The CLA deal categories recognise the landmark transactions completed 2023 for their size, complexity, breadth and innovation in five categories: capital markets, infrastructure, insolvency and restructuring, mid-market deal and M&A deal of the year. This year, 20 outstanding deals have been shortlisted as Excellence Awardees out of the dozens of nominations submitted. The shortlist of Excellence Awardees for 18 non-deal and case categories have already been revealed, and winners for all 23 categories will be announced during a black tie gala on May 11th at the Liberty Grand Venue in Toronto, where hundreds of legal professionals will gather to celebrate each other's efforts. For table reservations and more event details, visit lawawards.ca. You'll find the links to these stories in the show notes, and to get the latest CL Talk episodes automatically in your favourite podcast app, just click follow or subscribe.